New York State and city unemployment rates fell last month, and both are below the national average. For the city, the rate is 8.7%, more than a full percentage point lower than a year ago. Hiring was hottest in education, healthcare, and professional services. Government jobs, though, continue to dry up. In New Jersey, the unemployment rate increased slightly to 9.3%. Mayor Bloomberg has long taken pride in his reputation as an innovator. Now he's launched an index to track innovation in New York City. It includes factors like the flow of venture capital, the volume of patents issued to New Yorkers, and the number of graduate students in the city. The conclusion? Innovation was up 12% from 2003 to 2009. The index looks only at the five boroughs, so it's not possible to say how the city compares to, say, Boston, San Francisco, or the nation as a whole. Still, there are some interesting trends. New Yorkers are inventing more. About 1,100 patents were issued in 2009, an increase of almost 25% from 2003. Markets were mixed today, the Dow adding 14 points to close at 12,285. The NASDAQ was flat, ending at 2,760. And the S&P 500 also settled close to where it began, 1,315. When people who work in government leave to go work in the private sector, sometimes for companies they may have had a role in overseeing, the metaphor inevitably is the revolving door. On Wall Street, former public officials often move from the upper echelons of government to upper management at banks, and then back again, trading prestige for big paychecks. A recent example is the former White House budget director Peter Orszag, who joined Citigroup. Gabriel Sherman writes about the move in this week's New York Magazine, and he's with me now. Welcome to the Financial 411.
Thanks, Amy, for having me.
When Peter Orszag joined the Obama team, he was seen as a brilliant young economist. After 2 years in the White House, he decides to move on. Why did he ultimately join Citigroup a few months later?
Well, you know, Orszag was looking for a next stage in his career, and as he told me, he was really attracted to Citigroup's global platform. And it was a very controversial move because Citigroup had received about $45 billion in government bailouts after the 2008 crisis, and many critics looked at this move and wondered, why is it that a top Obama administration official is joining an institution that had been rescued by the generosity of the American taxpayer?
And what did he say to that?
Well, I think he acknowledged the criticism, but he decided that this was the best career move for him, and he was willing to endure short-term turbulence, as he called it in my interview, for the long-term gain of choosing the job that felt right for him.
As far as you can tell, what does he bring to Citi?
Well, Orszag's a brilliant economist. He's done a lot of groundbreaking work in healthcare and in macroeconomic policy. And obviously, his economic thinking will be a benefit to Citigroup's traders. And he brings, obviously, a sort of a broad sense of how the political environment works. As one person said to me, he can be, quote, effective in a lot of rooms, which means he can be a rainmaker at the stratospheric level. And basically, anyone will take the phone call of a former budget director.
Exactly. And his path is well trod, as you point out. Robert Rubin, Roger Altman, Larry Summers, they cycled between the Clinton administration and private companies. There's Henry Paulson, who went from Goldman Sachs to Treasury Secretary. And there's our own Deputy Mayor Bob Steele, who did stints at Goldman, the Treasury
Exactly.
Department, and as CEO of Wachovia. Is there anything in the Dodd-Frank law or any other recent measure to slow down this revolving door?
Amy, that's a great question, and not that I've seen, and I've talked to a lot of people about sort of what practical regulations the government could explore to limit this revolving door activity. And as Joe Stieglitz, Orszag's former mentor in the Clinton White House, told me in my interview, that in the 1990s they tried to, look at regulations to address this very question, and Joe Stieglitz is one of the most brilliant economists of his generation, told me that basically there's not much you can do because you can't put a moratorium on people's career choices after leaving government. So you're sort of left with the question, how do you solve this problem that is a bipartisan issue? As you so rightly pointed out, this is a problem that has affected not only Republicans but also Democrats. And it's a systemic problem that I think we need to really think long and hard about.
And briefly, Gabriel, the whole magazine was devoted to Wall Street. From your reporting, how do people who work in the sector see all of these stories? Are they feeling like, hey, we've moved on, why can't everyone else?
Well, I can only speak for my own work, but I think the take of the issue at large is this whole idea of Wall Street winning. You know, we're now, you know, more than 2 years beyond the crisis, and a lot of people are asking the questions that it seems like after everything we've gone through, it's status quo. And, you know, the average, you know, person is asking the question, how come the system hasn't changed?
Gabriel Sherman is a contributor to New York Magazine. Thanks so much for joining us on the 411.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
This is WNYC.